Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, folks. Welcome to this week's Hang. This week, we got two up-and-coming young writers, Talia Ranjbar and Catherine Carticello. We're going to talk about their new project, Nina and the Gen, and what inspires them and how they take an idea and develop it into, hopefully, our next Broadway hit. Enjoy the Hang.
You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Hang, Talia Ranjbar, Kat Carticello. Did I say that correctly?
Yeah, okay. That was perfect.
Yeah, and Ramin Karimloo. So we got some great names here. I really first want to say nice to meet you.
It's great to meet you as well.
It's great to see you again.
Likewise.
Talia and I, you connected with me on the old Tickety Talk almost a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was my first TikTok toe I put out. I put that out and you did a duet, I guess they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And you were just saying, I'd love to connect. I've got a project to talk about.
Yeah.
And I remember watching it and I was like, all right. But it's taken us almost a year to finally get that coffee in for you to fill me in on the project you both have been working on. So first of all, I want to say I'm glad we finally got to meet.
Me too.
I think it was last week or a week before that. And again, to meet you, which we'll start talking about your projects. I wanted to have you on because I found it inspiring. And I do find new writing inspiring, let alone coming from two young artists such as yourself in this industry and like who could possibly and most likely will be the future. And to start spreading those seeds and if this platform helps. But obviously I was really touched by you reaching out for the reason you did and wanting to maybe see if I can help be part of it and help get it off its feet, which I love doing because I've done that throughout this year, even like with the last match to help out mates.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that idea of working with people just as friends and let's see what happens. You know, we all know what the end goal we want to be, but there's a lot of steps to get there, development. And as they say, the journey is the best, is where you learn the most.
Mm-hmm.
So where to begin? So let's start with you.
Okay.
You're like a theater maker. Is what I was reading in that article, which is great because you're, you know, an artist by your own right, choreographer, director, writers.
Yeah.
Where did it all start? And you're half Iranian.
Half Salvadoran.
Half Salvadoran.
Born and raised in Toronto.
Italian for Kat.
Mm-hmm.
Whereabouts in Italy?
Amalfi.
Oh, beautiful.
Puglia also. There, I've actually never met the Italian side of my family. The one's still in Italy, actually.
Right. Were you born there or here?
Here. I was born
and
here.
Have you been back at all?
No. Well, my sister has. A lot of my family has too, but I've never been able to make it myself. But I should be going this spring, so that's very exciting.
For how long will you go for?
Just 10 days.
First time.
Yeah.
And to see family and whatnot?
Just to visit mostly. I'm not entirely sure yet. We haven't fully figured it out. But
that's going to be amazing.
Yeah. I'm excited for it.
It's one of my favorite countries. I love it there.
It's beautiful.
Okay, let's start with where did this connection come from? You guys.
Yeah, so we both went to NYU, the Graduate Musical Theater Writing Program, but slightly different times. Kat was a cycle before me, and I was in the process of pitching my thesis musicals, and there were some extenuating circumstances, and I didn't end up writing with who I was initially going to write with. But one of our advisors, Deborah Brevoort, knew that Kat and I would be a good match, so she set us up, and then we had our first meeting.
Clicked immediately. It was kind of funny. We were like, oh, this is fate. We were supposed to write together. So
Kat was stoked about the idea. And then it just snowballed.
Yeah, it's a beautiful idea. And I was like, okay, yes.
Yeah.
And this is the idea we're going to talk about today?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, it was just a one-page sort of like synopsis?
Pretty much, yeah. Like I think it was just the synopsis character breakdown synopsis that does not look like what it
was.
Like
it
right
was
now.
Based in 1001 Nights back then. That was a lot of the inspiration for it.
Yeah, it was a lot more.
We moved away
that.
From that at a certain point,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, it was where we started.
Yeah.
So what's this the show called, or at this point, the working title? And
right now, it's called Nima and the Gen.
Do you want to tell us a bit about that?
About the show?
Yeah, because this is why we've connected.
Yeah.
So let's start with that. Then I do want to know, like, especially for folks your age and even younger who dream about doing this, which we all still dream about, you dream about. Where did it, like, so you went to school and whatnot. We can talk all about that, but let's talk about
the show
project. Yeah,
sure. So it's about Nima, and she's 22-year-old Iranian-American girl, and it's ultimately about, like, her pursuit to connect with the culture that she has been longing for in her upbringing, but has been disconnected from because of a strenuous relationship with her father, and, you know, reasons that become known to her, but, you know, at first it just seems unreasonable. He doesn't want to connect, you know, so all of that kind of is discovered. And yeah, we at the top of the show, we lose her grandmother. But then she begins to present herself in this, like, spirit realm and shadow realm, and gives Nima a box that is full of secrets and passports of people she doesn't recognize and artwork. And that is kind of like what launches her into her investigation to figure out, you know, what is this life that I haven't known anything about? Do you want to jump in?
Yeah, and her grandmother comes back through the box in the form of a djinn, but with jumbled memories, because she passed away with dementia, and she comes back sort of as this cosmic entity, but not entirely with all of her powers. And so they have to work together to kind of figure out what happened to Nima's family, why they fled Iran, and that in turn lets Nima learn about her family, her culture, what they went through, and it also helps her connect with her father at the end of the show too. And that's really like the tie of the whole show, is like their relationship and how it's about coming together and like the intergenerational relationships that we're trying to cultivate that are important, like how we can learn from each other on both sides.
Yeah. So when it comes to the book, are you down as co-writers?
I'm the book writer and lyricist.
I'm the composer.
So, Italian, I've heard some of the demos, and like there is beautiful seeds of what's innately Iranian sounds, the music.
Thank you.
How did you?
A lot of research.
Yeah.
Listening to absolutely everything. I mean, Tali also introduced me to so much. Huge fan of Gagouche.
we made a playlist that were like...
A huge playlist.
Musical theater songs that were, you know, inspirations. And also I added a lot of like the Persian pop and classics that I grew up with. Like I remember sitting in the car and my dad would put the CD in. And I'd be like, number 3. And it was like RF, Gougouche, Black Cats, Mansoor.
I want this playlist. Like, can you send me this playlist?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And do you have modern like Iranian folk singers? Like, and then there's Shervin.
Shervin, yes. Yeah.
That song just won the Grammy, right?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And thank God it did. So worthy.
We also have a lot of music from the Rumi musical on that playlist as well.
We sure do, yeah.
Because that came out the same when we started writing it. So.
Did I call you?
When it dropped, I was like, Kat, open Spotify now.
Yeah. And I was like, well, that's the bar. Okay, fine. That's
Donna as well, who
I
guess co-composed that with Nadim. Like, it's
brilliant.
The real deal. And it's the only Zitz probe I've been to. When the orchestra started, I cried. I had tears in my eyes because I was like, this is so authentic. And you know, it's the first time, you know, I believe it's some things, you know, and you just life goes on. You got so much to do. And then suddenly I'm in a room with an all Middle Eastern cast. I was like, what is happening right now?
That's really powerful.
And I still, to this day, I'm still trying to figure out what that feeling was, because I've never experienced anything like that before. But it was also on merit, and it had to be that way for now, at least. And that's what I love about when I heard your demos. I was like, oh, I hear a bit of home there. And that's what I love is when it's not the demo, it's the rawest form. It's probably nowhere near what you guys want it to be, where it will be. But to already have that heart, I was like, oh, this is very interesting.
That's really great.
And it sounds
to hear.
Fresh, and I really liked it. And I can't wait to, however, I can help to be part of that. So, you did a lot of research and whatnot. It's amazing when you mentioned Gagouche, because, especially with the Iranian community, of all the few things I have done, the one thing they bring up first is like, you worked with Gagouche twice. Yeah. She's unreal.
She's, a legend. I actually didn't know that. I can't believe I didn't know you did that.
Can you tell us about that?
She did the show Gagouche Academy. So I was on twice as a guest judge, I guess you would call me, or guest I don't know. I'd go help them. They'd do the songs. I'd give them a bit of advice. Okay. But
right on.
With a translator, because my Farsi is getting worse and worse.
Yeah.
That's so cool, fair. Though. Yeah. Wow, she's a legend.
This was in London. Yeah, she came over.
Wow.
Amazing.
Wow.
So we're at the stage of script as you've got a draft, obviously. Mm-hmm. You need to get into room to start doing demos.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you've not worked with any theater company for it yet or submitted it to anyone yet?
So we had our table read basically as our thesis presentation in May.
Last year.
And then we were fortunate to present a song at, you know, in a concert at 54 Below. So like I had a bit of a presentation that way. And then kind of since then we've been thinking about, because we got great notes from our thesis advisors on, you know, how we can restructure it and like how do we get the story going faster, you know, trimming the fat and all the stuff. And then we've applied to something called the Rhinebeck Writers Retreat. So fingers crossed, they'll send us away to go and write.
To fix this next draft.
Yeah.
So how does that work, a retreat? What do you, if you get accepted to go on this?
This particular retreat is a week long and we would just spend that time, I think, reworking the structure of the show. We have all the pieces and the different scenes that we want, but especially with Mandana, the character and her dementia, we want to work with this nonlinear timeline to sort of help with the sense of like confusion and mystery for all of it. And so we want to try reassembling things and also fix the arrangement so that it's like feasible for a band in the United States to do, basically.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Well, forgive my ignorance, and to go on a retreat like this, what's the benefit of doing that than you guys just going to the Poconos for a week? Like, do you go and on the first day present it to someone, other writers and stuff, who then give notes, so then you go away and you, every day you're...
There is, if I'm not mistaken, advisors that are there, and then opportunity to share at the end of the week and get a little bit of feedback. It's also like they give you a small stipend, which is really nice.
And they pay for the expenses for you to like go there and stay there. So,
but from the first day, though, are you working with people...
Well, I think we can structure this however we want. And so, yes, we could. And it's really just an intensive period for us to really focus. And
also, I guess it gives you that space where you're just away from everything. You know why you're there.
Exactly.
You have people who have more experience, know more, that you can bounce off ideas.
Yeah.
Great.
So nice. No, you can't. Don't call me. Don't text me. I'm not coming to work.
Where is this?
Rhinebeck, New York.
Yeah, upstate.
Yeah,
right?
Upstate. Yeah,
sorry.
Don't know how
wrong.
Far away. I know.
But so that's it. If you get accepted, the funding, that's what happens. You're funded to do that.
Mm-hmm. For the week. Yeah. So fingers crossed. But I mean, regardless of that outcome, we're planning on doing something soon because, you know, we're just
the time is now.
To keep going.
Yeah.
And so we really feel that the time is now. I mean, it seems like it's something that a lot of people are really interested in with everything going on in Iran. And so
the
world is listening.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was just going to say, like, people in our circle, like, are just asking more questions. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, when they say things, like, this year after our 45, there was Yalda. And we had just presented it, and we have a song in our show, it's called Shabby Yalda, and people were texting me for the first time, happy Shabbat Yalda Mubarak, like my non-Iranian friends.
I was just listening
friends.
To that demo this morning.
Yeah. You know, and they, you know, they're excited because through the piece, they're learning these things. So their excitement feeds us in that way. Because yeah. I'm like, yes, like, you know, it can happen. Like, let's write it.
Yeah.
So Shabbat Yalda Mubarak. What is a translation just for those listening?
Shabbat Yalda Mubarak. So Yalda is like the longest night of the year. So it's like basically winter solstice. Happy winter solstice is like how I would translate it for a non-Iranian. And a celebration of lightness taking over the dark. And it was like connected to harvest. And people put like pomegranate and watermelon and chai and sweets. I mean, there's lots of things you could eat. I mean, mahi polo, like fish and rice is very common. And then people often stay up all night and sing songs and read stories. And
so our New Year's is coming up at the time of this recording. This.
Yeah, Nowruz. That's my favorite holiday.
We should include that in the
history. What do you do for... you should. Yeah. It's a great celebration. What are you going to do this year for... I don't know when this will come out. So March 21st, the night of the 20th, or New Year's.
Nowruz. What am I going to do personally?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Hopefully something. I haven't set up a hafsin in a while because I used to do it like back home. My grandmother
always
set it up.
Explain to us what a hafsin means. Yes. My mom's doing it now too.
Oh yeah. So hafsin is the centerpiece of Nowruz. It's the like how we set the table for the Persian New Year. And it has seven symbols that start with S sound. And they're all things that will bring you goodness in this way or the other for the new year. And they symbolize, you know, what you hope for. So there's like a mirror and garlic and gold and, oh my gosh, what else? Like spices. Yeah. The gold. Did I say the goldfish?
Yeah. You said gold.
And then also the goldfish. Oh yeah, sabzi. So like herbs, plant life, you know, stuff like that.
A little patch of grass on a plate.
Exactly. And it's so beautiful and symbolic. And my grandmother was always when we were little, we would like paint eggs too and put on the table. And she was always so excited about it. And it was just so special. So it's something that I, you know, every year, even if I don't set up a hafsin, I call her FaceTime. She shows me the hafsin she set up.
And where's your family now?
In Aurora, Ontario.
Of course, that's right.
Yeah, north of Toronto.
Yeah, I know it well.
Yeah.
And just so it's not so Iran-centric, your family, you grew up here?
Yes.
So you said you're born here?
Yeah, I grew up in New Jersey. My family is part of them are from Brooklyn and part of them are from Pennsylvania.
And what got you into composing?
It's always been part of my life, I would say. My mom's an opera singer, so
really?
I've just always had music in my life. And I got into composing sort of in a roundabout way. I thought I wanted to be an actor back when I was younger, but I've always been drawn to creating, and that's sort of how it worked out.
So what was the instrument that started inspiring? Was it piano, guitar?
Oh, I started playing, I can't remember, I think violin was my first instrument. Violin and clarinet and piano. And now I play bass too. But
do you?
Yeah.
And do you still play the violin and clarinet?
I do, yes. Yes, all the demos, those clarinet and violin sounds are me playing them, actually.
You were doing the violin?
Yeah.
She's so fantastic. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Still don't want to be an actress, though?
I think I've moved past it. If I ever do act in my stuff, I want to be in the background.
Yeah.
I like creating things for
other
people.
So this is not the first project you composed?
No.
It's becoming quite, it's getting most of your attention at this point?
Because this is the one that is currently like in development for us. Mm-hmm. And so we're putting, you know, our attention to this baby to try and get it out there in the world.
Is anything previous to this completed that's out there?
Yeah, I have.
Even like single songs?
I actually have another show that I wrote. It's called Then She Ran. It's a heroine's journey story, so all about female empowerment. And again, with like the intergenerational relationships, there are three women who are from different generations and they learn from each other. They're all going through different types of crises and they help each other get through them.
Where can we be privy to this?
Like, you could go to thensheran.com.
Has this had a life somewhere on stage?
It has, yeah. It's had a couple of productions. We actually were in Pennsylvania last fall for a Fringe Festival, so it got some work there. It's done some developmental work here in New York. It had its own reading at 54 Below, so
great.
We got a concert of it. And
when was that?
That was in February of last year.
Okay.
So it's almost actually past the anniversary of that. Yeah.
And she ran or then she ran?
Then she ran.
Thenshe ran.com.
Yep.
What's the next hope for that?
Well, we're still working on, at this point, honestly, we want to make it longer. It's only 60 minutes long, right, and we want to find ways to expand on it and expand on the ideas. Whether that means we turn it into something more episodic or we go in a digital or virtual direction with it, maybe turn it into film, we're not entirely sure yet. But
yeah, because there's so many platforms at your disposal that even just like YouTube and whatnot, or, you know, there's TikTok, Instagram, there's things you can start planting those seeds and...
Yeah.
You can really use to your advantage.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's written with Alex Becker, by the way.
Oh, very nice. I can't wait to look that up.
Yeah, yeah. It's a really exciting project. We love that one.
So that's brewing in on the side still.
Yeah,
Waiting to see what you guys do
next.
That's
further along, so.
Right. So then going back to this, let's talk about your training. So you both study at the same place, just different times?
Yes, for grad school.
Mm-hmm. I graduated a year before Talia did, so.
So then what got you into all this?
Growing up
in Aurora.
Yeah. So my mom is a big musical theater person. Even now she takes singing lessons and stuff. And, when we were young, I remember listening to Broadway soundtracks and stuff a lot. Sound of Music is, and always has been my love. And, but I was actually like a pretty serious athlete for most of my life. I played basketball, and then I studied kinesiology in my undergrad. But then I had a career-ending injury, basically. So I still play for fun, but I, you know, once I was hurt, it was hard for me to come back from it. And I started dancing, and my best friend is a dancer. She's been a dancer for her whole life. Her name is Sarah. Mm-hmm. And
hi, Sarah.
Hi, Sarah. And in the rehab, there was a lot of stretching and strength training that's complementary to dancing. So she was there for me. I was really down at that time. And then she was my first dance teacher. She started teaching me in my backyard, in the garage, in my basement.
Oh, wow.
And then I went to... But I was still I'm going to be a sports medicine doctor. You know, the doctor was like...
What we were all meant to be in Iran.
That was the initial plan. And then in undergrad, the first time I really leaned forward in a class was English 1000, which was funny. You know, I didn't really expect it, but the way he talked about storytelling, for some reason, I was so moved and obsessed with that class, and then I changed it to become a BA. So instead of Bachelor of Science, it was a Bachelor of Arts. So I could take theater studies classes and more English classes and stuff. And then it just kind of snowballed from there. I started writing for theater and stuff and directing. I had been directing before, but then I really focused, you know.
What did the parents think about the switch and where you're at now?
It was a shock, I think, to some.
Of course. I knew that was going to be the answer. So.
Yeah. My mom, I think, was not so surprised. And I don't think my dad was so surprised either. I think, you know, you worry because it's not always the most financially
lucrative.
Lucrative, that's the word.
Listen,
I'm going
out through with my own kids. And I'm like, but I was them. But now, it's like such... Double staring. I'm like, yeah. Man, what are you talking about? Will you be a musician? Get out of here.
Yeah.
You know? Understand the anxiety though.
But they think, they're very excited about this. I tell my dad, he's like, Rami.
Nah.
And yeah, so it was an adjustment, I guess, but we're here. I mean, I obviously wouldn't be here without them. So I'm very thankful.
You gotta follow your passion, right? And the rest
hopefully
takes care of itself.
Yeah, life is too short.
Life is too short.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what's the next steps for this project?
So we are aiming for some type of industry reading in the fall with our new draft and all Persian cast and inviting. I guess it would be, well, we haven't really talked about who would be invited, but the goal is to generate interest around the piece and see if there are people who want to start working on it. Are there... music directors, directors, choreographers, designers that we can invite. And like, you know, because once they start to look at a piece, it evolves again, as you know.
It would be great to get designers attached to it. There's a whole element of like shadow work we want to do, which is something that we sort of experimented with. But having designers who know how to light that sort of thing and costume that sort of thing would be really wonderful.
And without, you don't have to give names away, but do you have people like you like, oh, our wish list would be such and such and such and such, who know how to work with shadows, for example, in this situation?
Shadow specifically, not yet.
Yeah. Well, for that sort of lighting that you're envisioning.
Oh, wow. I can't think of anyone off the top of my head that would.
So I guess that's where you assemble like the whole team where you could start collaborating to next step. But I guess that comes with, as you say, after reading, you hope there's a producer or a company to help.
Exactly.
You need developmental funding. Yeah,
exactly. And I'm also just like, as part of that step, like engaging with a bunch of Iranians and like, because it's hopefully material that they really would connect with and see themselves in and like have specific perspectives on a shared experience, if that makes sense. And like that feedback is invaluable to us as well. And yeah, just seeing, you know, how can we make characters more specific? How can we make the story like move better? How are the beats aligned? And like, you know, all of that stuff after another reading. There's so many rewrites all the time.
Well, listen, I just spoke with Carrie Butler on a previous podcast, and Beetlejuice was 7 years in the making.
That's,
or
that's
her relationship with that was 7 years.
For a show, like, that's her relationship with it. So the timeline from of the show is probably a little longer than that. But yeah, that's pretty standard for a musical.
That's why, like, you know, with, and I know you saw The Last Match, that's jumped so many hurdles so quickly. Like, from March, it was just like an idea and a quick draft to us fighting in a ring in front of an audience with a band and script by September. So it's sort of like, okay, it's got great momentum, but let's just make sure, now let's look at the development again and make sure we're ready for the next step. And something as noble as this and something so close to you as well, you want to make sure you've done that and you got a good team behind you to help get it to where it should be.
Yeah. I can't wait for it to be like on stage, you know, no stands, like in costume, set, like all that stuff. But
oh yeah, the Conjuring scene when Mandana appears, like that's
crazy.
That could be very exciting.
So when it comes to that, and right now, you know, people are hearing about it work. Is there a way they can support? Is there a way they can hear it and just start developing their sort of an audience, is what I'm trying to say. How do we start developing an audience? Is there stuff out there now that you want them to see? That's obviously, if it's out there, you want them to see it.
I don't think it's on any public forums yet. We have our sizzle reel.
And I have a couple demos on my SoundCloud.
Oh, period. There you go.
What's your SoundCloud?
Kat Cardicello. It's my full name.
All right. We'll make sure that's all on here, too. And all your other work will be on there, too?
Yes. Yeah. Great. I have other work on there as well. Any demos that I have, really. I just sort of put them up there. But yeah, the sizzle reel is a really good place to start. We have that on YouTube as of now.
What's on the sizzle reel?
So the sizzle reel is... It has songs and scene samples, and it also has interviews with Kat and I talking about the story and giving people context and also where we come from, how we connect to the piece, as well as commentary from actors we were working with at the time. Oh. So Roz Sarabi and Georgia Boud were in the sizzle reel, and they talked about how they connect to the characters and what they were discovering from the piece and stuff. So it's a snapshot, I guess, of what we're working on.
And it gets an aesthetic idea across for the type of world we want to live in.
And whose YouTube channel is that on?
And yours, right?
Yeah. Yeah, if you search up Talia Ranch Bar on YouTube, you should be able to find it.
We'll make sure that's on here as well.
Yeah, okay.
Who, on the demo, who's saying Reza?
Georgia Boud.
He's Iranian, right?
No, he's Lebanese.
Oh, Lebanese. Okay. Yeah. Does he have a bit of a Middle Eastern accent?
I think he can turn it on when he wants to.
I kind of liked it in the song, though. I was like, oh, it's nice to get that in there.
Yeah.
Unless I'm, maybe I forced my ear to hear it, but I thought I heard it. I was like,
no,
oh,
yeah,
I like that.
He did, even in the scenes in the sizzle reel and stuff too.
Yeah.
He's so great.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see that.
He was wonderful for helping us just get that song developed and figuring out the key that it should live in and all of that really good stuff.
Yeah, it was great storytelling, to be fair. It was like, yeah, it took me from A to B, which I loved.
Uh-huh. That's good
and
to
that's
hear.
That's for the demo, you know? You said about your SoundCloud, and I've always wondered about this with people who are developing as artists. How do you know what to put on SoundCloud and what not to? Because I think we should protect the process, but I also understand we live in a world where we can like share things, and mm-hmm. it's a great way to get your work out there. You know, you can have your own TV channel on YouTube.
Yeah.
You can have your own platforms with Instagram and Tickety Talk. How do you know?
Love that you call it that. That is so funny.
It's stuck now. It's stuck. I swear, when I first thought, I thought it was TikTok Toe.
The punster in me very much loves that. I will be using that. Thank you very much.
It's all yours. Help me out because right now I feel like the old man dad jokes.
No, they're great.
But have you ever put something out and then 6 months later you hear back like, oh, why did I put that down? And you take it down.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
All the time. Yeah. You get very self-conscious about it. But I think ultimately I write music because I want it to be fun. Like, I want it to be fun for my performers to play. I want it to be fun for me to listen to. And if I check out during listening to my own music, I'm like, all right, never mind. I'll take it down. Or, yeah. I very often listen to things like imagining if I were like in the room with someone else listening over my shoulders and that.
So what makes you put it up there? What's the standard or what's your benchmark to go, okay, I'm going to put that up there?
I like it. And it doesn't peak in the
right,
mix.
Right.
Yeah.
So when you put it up there too, are you wanting the feedback? Are you wanting the comments?
I'm always open to it. It's very helpful all of the time. Yeah.
I guess because you're developing it.
Yeah.
And just
yeah.
to see what resonates with people, right?
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Interesting.
It's also really helpful when people say, I don't get it. Like, I don't understand what this is. That's very useful for me too, because
I guess that's it, you know, because like when I post, I don't open the comments, but I'm not necessarily developing anything. It's like, here's my offering. Mm-hmm. But I guess if you are,
yeah,
then it's a great tool for that as well.
Yeah. It's a great litmus test to see what people really respond to and how and why.
Interesting. So. We hopefully can maybe do something with this.
Yeah. I mean, I would love that. Yeah. It's a thank you for listening to the demos and for having us, by the way. I don't think we've said that yet. And
we're really grateful for this. Yeah.
No, I think people will take stuff from this, you know, whether it's supporting the project or it's just, you know, I'm listening to you guys and I get inspired by the young minds, but it's your tenacity. It's your, you know, I think we can't underestimate the value of hard work and like, mm-hmm. there's different ways of going about things and to hear all these different stories, all these different pathways and efforts, you know, it's important that everyone gets as many stories as possible, you know, and then find their way with that and take what they can.
Yeah. And I think there's something really universal in our story too, because Nima's trying to connect to a culture that she really doesn't know anything about. And that can be said for a lot of people our age who, like, their families immigrated over from different countries, mm-hmm. and they, through the course of growing up here, maybe weren't as connected to it for different reasons, so.
Yeah. There's a disconnect, I think, that a lot of children of immigrants can feel, and, like, a fear of, oh, well, am I going to pass this on to my children, my mm-hmm. family, the right way, you know, like, do I have enough knowledge to uphold the traditions and stuff that I loved having? And then it's like, oh, but am I going to mess it up?
You know?
And that idea of legacy, you know, and like, where do I stand in the lineage? And does it end with me? You know, these like questions that I think universally, like you said, people experience, which is I hope non-Iranian people's way into the story as well.
Yeah, well, this is a universal story from what you've already told us. And also, I know you mentioned that it's what a time to be telling the story now, especially with all that's happening in Iran. And unfortunately, that's cyclical and it's just the boiling point has over tipped now and people mm-hmm. have enough's enough. But you started this story before the recent turn of events.
Yes.
You know, so that's why it's not, it just happens that this is what's happening now. But this story lived before and it'll live on after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's got that timeless aspect to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because there's another song for Reza that we were looking at. that we have it, but it's just we're now zhuzhing it a bit. But they're the first four lines of the song, we were like, oh my God, it's because it's very, you know, we can't stand by while innocent people are suffering type of thing. And we were reading it and I was like, we wrote this way before the protest started, and it just
kind of
struck
me.
January
of last year.
Yeah. And it's great. Like you said, it's cyclical. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that notion of let's stand up for what we believe in is never going to expire.
While we're on that topic, then, as two young artists, you know, seeing what's happening there, and obviously it's close to home for us, but I think it's not, you don't have to be Iranian to be affected by it. Like, this is a human story. It's not even politics. This is, humans are suffering.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, and it just happens to be in our homeland now. But, and I was just thinking that with you right now, sat here as a non-Iranian, but who's supporting and being part of it. So I guess, thank you for letting us be a little Iranian centric on this.
Thank you for having me.
But, she's honorary Iranian. She's learning Farsi. We had kebab together. Like, she's in, man.
Do you cook it or do you go to an Iranian place here?
We ordered from Rava.
Oh, I was supposed to go there yesterday, but they opened at 3.
Oh, so good.
I'm like, I'll try to get in for 1. I'm like, of course, Iranians. Why do we eat at 1? Yeah. No, it's later. Oh, we should go.
We should
Rava.
Go. I
have
that
ordered
place.
From them. Amazing.
It's fire.
On Madison and 33, around there?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
all right, deal.
What a great night.
Our bread
was.
To start things off. Oh, my God. But thank you for... But also, yeah, you are an honorary Iranian.
She is.
And I feel like an honorary Italian because that's the first refuge I took when I left Iran during the war.
Yeah, I did
know
that.
Which is why I'm
you.
Excited to go back as Phantom for the first time for myself
so
to perform there, let alone the show itself.
Wow. Are you performing in Italian or is it
no,
going to be...
sadly.
That's okay.
But I do want to start getting the Duolingo app open again and start learning Italian before I get out there.
That's what she's doing.
Really?
She's on Duolingo learning Italian.
Well, yeah.
How
continue
is your
to
Italian?
Practice. Io capisco un po'. Sì?
Grazie mille.
So good.
I think I'll make a shirt. Hashtag grazie mille.
Yeah, that's all you need. I see those hashtags on your Phantom posts. Oh,
it's a soft branding because I'm like, okay, an ADEC shirt that says grazie mille is coming down the line at some point. So for now, there's no site or page for this show
yet. No, we very much have to build that. That is also the next step.
So for now, let's go to your SoundCloud, which we'll put the link on here.
Yes.
And your YouTube channel, which we can at least see the sizzle reel.
Yeah. Yeah. Also have my website, taliaranjbar.com, if you want to check it out. My Instagram.
It's a good website. I saw that this morning.
Yeah, you saw my website?
Yeah.
Thank you. Sarah
do you have a
made
website?
I do. Catcart.art.
Oh, very nice. So I'm going to check that out now. And good old Sarah did
Sarah,
the website.
Sarah McMillan designed my website.
What does Sarah McMillan do?
She's a dancer. She's right now, she's teaching ballroom dance at Artistica in Aurora.
Is she?
Yeah.
And she's a website designer.
She, not formally, like she'd probably kill me. Sorry, Sarah, but she's very good at it.
Well, Sarah's going to get a lot of, she's going to be inundated with offers now.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys for joining us on The Hang.
Thank you.
You can come back anytime as this thing develops. Let's keep the story. Let's build an audience because everyone loves new work. Everyone loves work that's new to them. I know how people reacted to Rumi, and I feel like we'll get the same support going this way, even based on the demos I heard.
Thank you.
You are an honorary Iranian because you got the sounds. I was like, wow, this is really beautiful.
That's
and that's the bare bones of
hear.
It right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm very excited. And if there's any way I can help, you know, I will.
Thank you.
That
means
really
the
grateful.
World. Yeah. Yeah. It's a privilege to be here.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Thanks for the hang.
Thank you.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com and, of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the SUPs. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Suffs celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suffs has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com.